ahead and pray. And welcome to healing school, healing class. It is healing class. So Father, thank you. Jesus, you're our healer. And in you, we are healed. So I want to thank you right now for this class. I want to thank you for all that you've brought to us. The truth that is in your word. The truth, oh Lord, that we have received, Lord. But I pray, Jesus, revelation of this truth will just begin to rise up within us and quicken us, Lord. That, Jesus, we will not live under less than what you have provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for ears to hear. And thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your presence, for you are here. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning, Doris.
Good morning. Do you have the device?
I do. I have it right here. Yep. I don't have the one with the earpiece. It's just the little one that's there. So, well, what we have been doing in this class. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Lucy.
This is part three of it. The class is called His Grace is Sufficient. Mm-hmm. But last month I did a healing class, and the title was His Grace is Sufficient. And we read from Luke chapter 7 about the centurion that called on Jesus because he had a servant that was very ill. And from that story, and we're going to just do a little recap on it, but from that story, it's turned into a three-part. It's just, I kept praying, Lord, what's this healing class going to be about the next time? And I kept going right back to the same spot. But in Luke chapter 7, and we're not going to read the whole thing, we're just going to do some highlights so that we can get to what we want to talk about today. But we read about this Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7, and we talked about it last week, if you remember, Kim, that he had called on Jesus. He had a servant that it says he was very dear to him, which meant he was very valuable. He loved this servant that he had. He was of value to him. And so I'm sure he had exhausted every possibility that he could, because this man was paralyzed. And it says he was in great pain or great torment because of the sickness, and he was at the point of death. And I'm sure everything, just like the woman with the issue of blood, had exhausted everything, all of her resources, and had grown no better, but had grown worse.
Right.
And I'm sure that this was the same situation, because if he's at the point of death and he's paralyzed, there was nothing that could be done. But he heard about Jesus. It said he had heard about Jesus. I'm sure he had heard, and maybe he had even seen some of the things, but he beseeched the Jewish elders, will you send for Jesus that he will come and heal my servant? So they went to Jesus, and here's the story in Luke chapter 7. It says, and we're going to start at verse 6, okay? Because Jesus is on his way. Then Jesus went with them, and he was already not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. And before we finish this, we're going to stop right there for just a minute, because we talked about this worthy. He says, I'm not worthy, which what he was saying, that word worthy there means I'm not sufficient, or I am not good enough. Come on in.
I've got a new gentleman.
Okay.
This is Patrick.
All right. Come right in, Patrick. Pleased to meet you.
You want to sit down?
Come on in and sit down. There you go.
Sorry, John.
No, it's no problem. Good to meet you, Patrick. I'm Joanne. Welcome to healing class.
Amen.
So as we were getting back to this, he says, I did not even think myself worthy, which meant I'm not sufficient. I'm not good enough is what that is. Was that word worthy when you look it up in the Greek? I'm not sufficient. I'm not good enough for you to come under my house. And I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, which means that worthy means deserving. I'm not sufficient enough in who I am, so I'm not deserving. for you to come to me. And a lot of us live that way, and we felt that way. Lord, I failed. I did not do everything that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. I haven't served you like I should serve you. I haven't known you like I should know you. So I feel like I'm not deserving, I'm not worthy, or I'm not sufficient or good enough for you to come to me, mm-hmm. which means I feel like I'm not deserving. But he had something. Good morning. He had a revelation of authority. We're going to keep going with that so that we can get through this and step into what we want to talk about today. But he says, therefore I did not think from myself worthy, but say the word and my servant will be healed. And it keeps going, because for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So this man had an understanding of authority. Even though it was in the world, it was worldly authority, he understood where his authority came from. It came from Rome, right? He's a centurion. He has 100 men underneath him. So when he speaks, those men have to obey. Yes. If they don't obey, there's a price to pay,
right? That's right.
If you were a Roman soldier and you did not obey what your leader or the centurion was saying to you, you would be disciplined for that. Mm-hmm. So he understood authority, and he took a natural principle and he put it in a spiritual context. Mm-hmm. And he says, if I do this, all you have to do is say the word, because I understand what authority is. So he told him, just say the word and it shall be done. My servant will be healed. Now we understand. Of course, we understand what happened. Jesus, he commended the man, but he said, go your way, your servant's healed. And he was at that very hour, when you look at the different versions that it, you know, in like the different books. So he was healed. The man received his healing.
Yes.
On the authority of Jesus' word. He received it. But this man was able to receive, and he was not even a Jew. He wasn't even serving the Lord. But he received healing for somebody that he dearly loved, that was valuable to him. So we're going to keep going here, because that's kind of what we talked about in the first part. If we keep going, we were talking about the power of the spoken word. So what is within us? We looked at the purpose of the spoken word from Isaiah 55. We'll look at that real quick, Isaiah chapter 55. Because every word that the Lord spoke had a purpose behind it. And it had an intended purpose, and it accomplished that purpose when he spoke it. So in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 was the verses that we used. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty or without accomplishing the purpose I send it for. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when we speak the word of God that we know is true and that he has given to us, we know it has an intended purpose. And we have to stand in faith that purpose will be accomplished. So when we pray, when we lay hands on somebody and pray for somebody, we have to know in our heart it's done. And when we speak it, that word of God has accomplished already. And when somebody prays for, if I'm being prayed for, I have to believe, just like you did the other day with your neck, I'm healed. And you received it because it's the word of God. It's not me. It's not you. It's who Jesus is inside of us.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the very presence of God within us. And it's his word that we speak, because he has given his authority to us.
Glory.
Just like that Roman centurion had the authority of Rome.
Exactly. Amen.
So when Jesus has given us his word and his authority, We need to believe it, mm-hmm. stand on it, mm-hmm. and say, it shall be done. Because the word accomplishes. When we send that word, it accomplishes. Mm-hmm. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them.
Yes.
And delivered them from all of their destructions. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Psalm 107, it's really speaking of the goodness of God. Oh, that men would praise him for his goodness. All through Psalm 107, it's all about the goodness of God. So when he sent his word and healed him, it's because of his goodness. He's good. God is good. And so he sends healing. We looked at, also, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. This man, this centurion did not feel worthy. He did not feel like he was sufficient. But we know the Bible says his grace is sufficient.
Yes.
His grace is sufficient. It's complete. It's good enough. It is enough. By grace are you saved through faith. Mm-hmm. Grace is God's help for people who do not deserve it, who can't earn it, simply because of his goodness. That's his grace. Grace is a person. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. You have to earn it. You have to do things and earn it. You could say religion says earn this, do these, and you'll be okay. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So grace, the sufficiency of grace, is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we carry him within us.
Yes.
He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake
That's
you,
right?
Right?
That's right?
So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. This is where Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And let's start in verse 4, okay? It says, it's not in, you know, works that we do. We have such trust through Christ toward God. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, okay, verse 4. And now verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. So by the letter or by the law, you're earning. By grace, by the Spirit, you're receiving.
That's right. Praise God.
And its sufficiency comes through the grace of God. So this is what Jesus has provided. Mark 16, verse 20 says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mm-hmm. Working with them is that word where we get the word synergy. Synergy is you're bringing these elements together and they're all accomplishing the same purpose. They have an agreement. It's like taking two entities and saying, I'm going to work with you, will you work with me, and we can accomplish the same purpose. Instead of one, we have two. Well, and now instead of just one Jesus that's on this earth, he has a multitude of believers and he's working with them to accomplish his purpose. His purpose for this class is healing. So his purpose is accomplished because he brought us salvation, right?
Yes.
He is salvation to us. He died, he was buried, he rose again. So he has provided for us salvation. We're saved, which means we're healed. Because when you look it all up, we already know that salvation means we're rescued out of sin. But when you're saved, it's the word that means not only are you saved or rescued from sin, but you're healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're financially provided for.
Yes.
You have his peace.
Yes.
You have his wholeness.
That's right.
So in Jesus, his grace is sufficient. It's complete for all things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what we talked about last week. So we're not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency or our ability
yes.
comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get to part three to today, okay? And we're going to look at what happened when the disciples received the word of God after they were baptized in the Spirit and what took place because they went about with boldness preaching the word with signs following as Mark 16:20 told us. So we want to see the word in action. This is, again, His grace is sufficient. This is part three. But we can say this is the word in action. Are there any questions before we go any farther? Any comments? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think sometimes we skim over the fact that in Christ now, what you're just talking about, salvation. Salvation is reconciliation to the Father, being reconciled.
Yes.
So we have exactly what Jesus had, mm-hmm. which is direct access to the Father.
Yeah.
Who healed everybody in the Gospels when Jesus was healing people? Mm-hmm. It was the Father through Jesus.
Through Jesus.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that applies now to us because we are reconciled just like He was mm-hmm. to the Father because we are in Him. Mm-hmm. So it's still the Father
yes.
healing people
mm-hmm.
through us.
Through us.
Jesus. So we've got that connection.
Yeah.
And we don't... Bringing those connections together, sometimes we can still feel like, yeah, I get the Jesus thing, but I don't know about God. Does God really want to do this? Because He seems to be the mean guy, and Jesus is the nice guy. But when you can connect that God was the one who was doing all those things, it was always mm-hmm. the Father through Christ.
Right.
Well, now I can connect to the Father, and I don't have to still wonder, does the mean part of God... Will He accept me in part of healing? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And along that thought, Johnny,
since we're involved in today,
No, and that's good because let's go back to, you don't have to turn there, okay? But, you know, you can write it down if you want to look at it. But Exodus chapter 15. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've just crossed over the Red Sea. And now they're at the bitter waters of Marah. Mm-hmm. He says, how are we going to do? We need some water. You know, this water's poison. We can't drink it. Of course, we know what happened. The Lord showed Moses a tree to throw into the water. You know, a tree is always going to represent the cross. And the waters were made sweet. But in verse 26, it says, now this is Moses... And the law has not come yet, but we haven't seen grace like we know it in the New Testament. Okay? If you diligently heed, in verse 26, the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, which we do now through believing in Jesus. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So He healed them then. It is in God's heart, in the Father's heart to heal. It always has been in His heart to heal. So we see it there. If we see it over in chapter 23, I believe it's chapter 23 of that same book of Exodus. In verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So it was always His will that we live healed. We hear things, of course, right now, you know, you got to be careful, you got to watch out, you know. All of these different things that are happening, you never know what's going to happen to you. I had somebody at work ask me, aren't you afraid? I says, no, I'm not afraid. She couldn't get over it. You're not afraid? No, I'm not afraid. And I've had many, many opportunities to explain to them, I'm not afraid because I know the word that the Lord has given to me, and some people you can just really expound it to. Mm-hmm. Others, they're just like, I don't understand that. So it gives you an opportunity to witness to them mm-hmm. and share with them the word of God. But He says, no, I'm not afraid. It's hard for people to understand that you can live not living in fear.
Exactly.
But we can live without living in fear. If we know who we are, who the Father is in us, who Jesus is in us, and who the Spirit is in us. Mm-hmm. Because when He gave us His Spirit, He gave us everything.
Everything.
So we're not, you know, everything. The Lord has not separated Himself and says, oh, the Father, no, you know, He's too big. No, we have, like you said, we've been reconciled. We're in right standing. Mm-hmm. Jesus became sin He became me on that cross. I died on that cross. And we're going to look at a verse that says that. I died on that cross. I have to see that though. Because I was in him. Mm-hmm. Right? I was in him when he died. He's seen me. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, he's seen me. Mm-hmm. He's seen you. He's seen us. He took our sin. Which means when he took stripes on his back, he took our sickness.
Exactly.
So it's our sufficiency is his grace. His grace is sufficient. Like Paul said, he has made us able ministers because we're not sufficient of ourselves. But he has given us the sufficiency because his grace is sufficient.
Yes.
So everything that we have is what he is and who he is within us.
That's good.
When you think about that, it's like, wow, what have I to fear? Who was the one that said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself? Yeah.
Yes.
Was it Churchill? I thought it was American. Thomas Paine or someone like that. But it could have been. Nothing to fear but fear itself. But
okay.
So let's get this going. Acts chapter 3, okay? Acts chapter 3. We should actually, let's just start in Acts chapter 1, okay? Because we got to see what happened with these disciples and gave them such boldness. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth and right here in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Did you just call this the end of the earth?
Yeah. No, I went beyond the end of the earth. I went beyond the end of the earth even.
Here in Ypsilanti, in the end of the earth.
Right here in Ypsilanti, Michigan. You shall be witnesses.
Yes.
A witness is someone who tells what they've seen or done. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus is, when we are witnesses, we're doing what he did. We are doing what he did. So they have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive this power. And we know in Acts chapter 2 that power came. And what happened with them is they went from fear to faith. They had been hiding for a while, remember? There was some things going on and they were a little bit frightened. I can understand that. But now they went from fear to faith. They went from hiding out into the open. And they're out proclaiming. So in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, chapter 3, verse 1, we may not read the whole thing because there's a couple other places we want to look at, but we know they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour. It says it's about 3 p.m. now, and they seen a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask him for alms, and fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look on us. Now, fixing his eyes, he gave him a steadfast look. He's focused on this person. He's absolutely zeroed in on this person. He's not looking about. The Lord has led him to this person. This person has a need. And the Holy Spirit has quickened him. And now he has fixed his gaze upon this man. So this man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't minister a whole lot to him, did he? He just spoke it. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But we've got this. They have come together. I remember with children, even with mine, I'd have to get my kids sometimes and I'd say, no, wait a minute, look at me.
Yeah.
When you want to get your point across, stop what you're doing. We need to talk. Now look at me. And you need them to do something. Mm-hmm. So you're intently, you're putting that, you're relaying the message adequately to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a contact.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a contact with Holy Spirit and you've got contact with somebody, that's when the miracles can take place. So we know what happened. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This man was over 40 years old.
Yeah.
It says later on in Acts. He's over 40 years old. He's been crippled all of his life. And now all of a sudden, do you ever wonder why Jesus didn't heal him? If he was set daily at the gate. I always wondered about that. I think the Lord just gave them a present. You know, I'm not really sure about all of that. I'm not really sure why, but, you know, he says he brought him daily at the gate. Was he there, Johnny? Do you have an answer to that one?
God has a timing for everything, right?
Yes.
I mean, don't you wonder why God doesn't always have you do something? Like, you can't just walk through
yes.
and clear out the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timing, God's
there, plan. There's, yeah.
Things going on in everybody's life, and there's a right time.
Right.
The right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing.
Sure. Sure. And that's probably the best answer that there is to that one.
Yeah.
You know? Because you could try to figure it out, Lord, why didn't you do that and this? But, you know, that's probably about the best answer that we could have. Thank you.
Yeah.
But you have this steadfast look. You have this intensity that's happening there. And if we go on in verse 12, just go down a little bit in that same chapter, verse 12. So when Peter saw it, we're talking about the word in action, the word that is within us. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people because they're just all amazed. Look at what happened to this man. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" This wasn't our power. In verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, through Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." This is the word of faith in action. When that word, just like Isaiah said, his word will not return void. It's not going to go back to the Lord empty saying, it's already been. Now I know we can say that there's some people that have a hard time receiving. And that's true. We don't know what's going on. Maybe it's a heart issue. But yet, God's word is still, it's not empty. It's full.
That's
because
right.
It's been accomplished.
That's
He's
right.
done it. He's already done it. So his word is not returning back. The cross of Jesus is not going, it's not going back saying, well, I didn't do enough.
Right.
Enough. His grace is sufficient.
The verse you used for that, was it Isaiah?
Isaiah 55.
The word goes forth like water that rains. Down,
yes.
And then it receives a crop. Well,
yeah.
Well, sometimes crops don't happen just like that. The water
seed
goes in and
time,
time
harvest.
Harvest. Yeah. So mm-hmm. there's the time thing. Where we goof up is when we say it and we believe it, but then we don't see it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, maybe it didn't happen then.
We're back to that timing thing, aren't we? We're back to that timing thing.
Let God be
yeah.
God with those things. If
yeah.
you believe, just keep
yeah.
on that belief.
Right. We just have to know that what we've said, that God's word is true. Healing is done. It's done. Acts chapter 14. Let's look at another.
And sometimes there's growing pains with that too. A growing pain period.
A what?
Explain that.
Well,
what do you mean?
I'm believing God for something and knowing that He's already accomplished it for you. But yet, you're still living in the circumstances, painful circumstances, maybe, let's say. But, you know, God is giving us, he gives us hope to keep going through our pain so that we can grow because He's trying to teach us.
Well, hope, what is hope?
We
hope is expectation.
Yeah.
If you look at the Bible, hope, that's expectation.
Right.
I may not see it right now, but I expect it.
Right.
And when we can get us in that type, get our mind in that type of a mindset, I have a testimony about that where I went through a sickness and I'm speaking the word and speaking it and speaking it and it's not happening. And I could have gotten, Lord, where are you? But something happened in me and I sat down to pray one day, and I says, this changes nothing. I'm healed.
That's right.
It changes nothing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
God's word is still true.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It's still true. When we can get in that hope, that expectation, knowing that maybe there is that timing element, Kim, because maybe there's something else that God's doing in our heart, too. And understanding. Maybe it's an understanding that we're not seeing things fully clearly yet, mm-hmm. you know? Because I've done that. I think we all have. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't really understood fully. I've said it. I used to speak the word and pray the word all the time, but mm-hmm. I realized that I really didn't believe it in my heart. I was saying it.
Yeah. And I think that's where the maturity of our faith comes in. The more we hear, faith comes by hearing
mm-hmm.
and hearing and hearing
yes.
and seeing and saying and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we get that in, I think that's when we really begin to get it. Because faith always, I mean, healing always comes. But it's up to us to receive it. And sometimes it's acting on that faith of knowing, like you said, I know I'm healed. My healing isn't predicated on what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I healed? Because mm-hmm. God's word says I am healed.
Yes.
You
mm-hmm.
see? So
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
for his glory.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. But nobody else. That point where it's your word.
That's
you're
right.
getting a specific word. You can just keep reading. Again, you reach the Bible over you like a recipe book.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't do that because faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
But you continue to do that until you get a direct word from the Holy Spirit.
That's
when
right.
that happens, then
mm-hmm.
you hang on to that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The,
yeah.
At the gate, Peter got revelation.
Yeah.
This is somebody the Holy Spirit wants to work with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he had expectation because he heard something specific from God through the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The beggar had expectation. Money.
Money, yeah.
But I guarantee what happened when he looked at Peter, the Holy Spirit worked through Peter,
mm-hmm.
and his expectation changed.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke about healing, he received it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we're going to see another example of that. Same thing happening
praise
in Acts chapter 14 with Paul,
mm-hmm.
with Paul and Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
But if a healing doesn't happen immediately, like you received it, but you don't see it immediately, well, God did create your body to heal itself. Cuts heal over time. Didn't God heal you still?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he created your body to heal
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
need to cut ourselves a little slack sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, we do. We do get into condemnation.
Oh, yeah.
We can really condemn
I mean,
ourselves. Yeah, yeah. Nope. Acts chapter 14. This is good. This is really good because I like all the conversation. You know, because we really learn from each other,
mm-hmm.
but we're just really bringing out even experiences, life experiences, and that helps other people. It does. So Acts chapter 14, this is Paul and Barnabas. They're going and preaching the word with signs following. I like verse 3, because verse 3 says, in chapter 14 of Acts, therefore they stayed there a long time. They're in Iconium. They stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. The Lord is bearing witness to the word of his grace. And what is happening, signs and wonders are
yeah.
being done by their hands.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord, again, it's that synergy. The Lord is working with them. He's working through them. He is hearing his word, his own word being spoken, and he is witnessing his word by signs and wonders following.
Mm-hmm.
But down in verse 8 and 9, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet, again, it's a man who can't walk, was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently. Now that word intently is the same word as back in Acts where Peter told the man, look at me. It's that same word. It's a word that means, you know, like being intentional, attention, like attention, all hands on deck. It's like a call to attention is what it is. You're focused, you're zeroed in. So he's seeing him, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. So something happened when he heard this word, like that word was quickened inside of him. It came alive inside of him, what Paul was saying. And Paul recognized it. He says, you have faith to be healed. He's seen the word come alive within him. And what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel. The gospel message. Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he rose again. And he's given us his spirit. That's the gospel message. The good news. We're saved through faith in his name.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. This man heard Paul speaking, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So again, we see the word of God in action.
Yeah.
And by the way, these were idol worshippers.
Sure.
They thought, sure enough, Zeus has come.
Right.
This is what they're thinking. Zeus has come. He's speaking and all of us, and they're getting ready to make a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas had to stop and say, no, we're servants of the living God. But God did that for them. So it's not what you can earn. His grace is sufficient.
Yes, yes.
We can't earn it by trying to live right. We have to receive through faith and the grace that has been provided. Grace is a person. It's Jesus Christ. That's who grace is in our life. So this man jumped up and he's walking and leaping and he is totally excited. I don't know how old he was, but he could have been 10, he could have been 20. It doesn't matter. If you had an issue in your body that all of a sudden it's gone, you're going to leap. You're going to jump and be excited. And you're going to declare it to everybody, aren't you? So, but Jesus is bearing witness to the word of his grace. Jesus is being in agreement with, he's corroborating is what he's doing. He's corroborating, which that's what that word means. He's testifying to it. They're speaking my word and I'm bringing a testimony to it, which means I'm going to perform it.
Yeah.
Is what he's doing. It means he's agreeing with it, with what they're speaking. I'm in agreement. If two or more are in agreement. Holy Spirit, when you're speaking the word of God and the Holy Spirit begins, he's agreeing with you because he's in you, you're going to see signs and wonders follow. You're going to see. And Jesus is going to bring it to pass within your life. But he's corroborating his own word. His grace is sufficient. What is your need? Really, with God, all things are possible. There's nothing that is impossible with God. This is healing class, but maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's heart healing.
That's right.
Sometimes heart healing is harder to deal with in people's lives because they've really been hurt. And it's deep, and it's a wound that is even... It's just as real, if not more real, than a wound. Because this wound, like you said, it heals itself over time. Sometimes heart wounds can take years to heal. Until you know the healing power and the hand of God that can touch right into your heart and touch your heart and mend it. Who can mend a broken heart? The one who had a broken heart.
Yes.
Jesus' heart was broken. His heart was broken. His heart was pierced, but also his heart, he wept over Jerusalem. And he wept over the nation that had rejected him. He knows rejection. He understands rejection. He understands the pain that he was going. If this can pass from me, Father, if there's any other way, but there's not.
That's right.
Nevertheless, thy will be done.
Yes. Sometimes the heart needs to be healed for the physical healing.
It does.
Sometimes that physical healing is directly related
to
that heart issue.
It absolutely does. God can heal relationships also.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a healing in a relationship. I went through that. Everybody knows. My mom and I were healed. Our relationship was healed beyond what my wildest expectation.
Right.
But that's what God does.
Yeah.
He's a healer. So it is physical. It is physical healing, but it's heart healing, it's emotional healing, it's relationship healing. He heals to the uttermost because His grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's full, it's complete. There is no lack in what we can receive from Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we're going to end this with Mark 11. Mark 11, I always like to say this is the verses that Kenneth Hagin wrote.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mark 11. Who, you know, what is the power of this word within us? Wow. In verse 22, the Lord told them, have faith in God. Or have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what is the mountain? There was a fig tree then. That's, but maybe it's in a mountain. Maybe it's, a, what is your mountain?
Yes.
It can be a sickness. Mm-hmm. It can be a debt.
Uh-huh.
It can be fear. Mm-hmm. It can be a person, an enemy. What is your mountain? Now, we're not, you know, against people, but against what's driving that person.
That's right.
Okay? People are not our enemy, even though we can, you know, I know they act like it, but the real force behind that.
That's right.
For whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Doubt is double-mindedness. Mm-hmm. Doubt is wavering. You're like that wave. Comes in, it goes down. Yeah. It comes back in.
Tossed to and fro.
Yeah, tossed to and fro like a wave. Mm-hmm. There's no stability to it. Mm-hmm. It can't hold anything. There's no foundation if you doubt. Mm-hmm. And does not doubt where? In his heart. Mm-hmm. But believes that those things he says, now we're talking about saying. The word has to be spoken.
It has to be.
The Lord spoke. And the word accomplished. He says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. At the moment you pray it.
That's right.
Right then you believe. Mm-hmm. Not when you see it.
Right.
You believe it when you say it.
That's it.
And you will have them. It will come to pass. Any of us can say, oh, I believe. Once I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what God did. Oh, I believe God, because look at what He did for me.
Right.
Can you believe it before you see it?
That's right.
And that's the word in action. That's faith in action. That's saying, by your stripes, I am healed.
That's right.
I am already healed.
That settles it.
And your grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sufficient within myself, but mm-hmm. who you are in me makes me sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Able.
Yes.
I'm an able minister.
Yes.
You have given me the ability because
right.
I don't look at myself. I look at you completely in
God.
You.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to read this one more and then I'm done. We really do have to close. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Remember, we want to stay firm. We don't want to waver. We want to have the faith of God within us. The faith that Jesus had. Verse 20. I believe this is the one. I have been crucified with Christ. I died. We're supposed to see that. We died on that cross. He died in my place. He died as me. As who I am. He died. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is why Paul had such revelation. He understood. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in or through the Son of God. Grabbing hold of the faith that Jesus, we say, I have His righteousness, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I have His healing. I am healed because, yes, I do. I have His goodness. Yes, I do. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So is faith. So I have His faith.
Mm-hmm.
at the same time. I don't have to conjure up faith
right.
if I rely on the faith that he has given me.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
So I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But we know that righteousness is by faith.
Yes.
So we're going to close, and if anybody needs prayer, we're going to pray, okay? Pray for healing, and we're going to believe. So Father, thank you for this word. This is the word of God in action. And the word that, Lord, changes us and transforms us. When we see you and not ourselves, when we see the sufficiency of your grace within us and not our own abilities. With you, we are everything. Lord, without you, I am nothing. So I thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift of grace in my life and in the life of those that are here today.
Yes.
You have given us yourself. And so we receive and we declare right now healing manifestations for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.